your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
All right. Happy Pi Day. Do you guys know what Pi Day means?
What's that?
What's close to Pi Day?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Pi Day is close to 316 Day. Oh, hell yeah!
I'll drink to that.
You guys like pie?
What's your favorite kind of pie? It's a simple question.
Raspberry. I don't want to answer a question. Nope.
I don't know why.
It's strawberry cheesecake.
That's a pie. That's a cheesecake, not a pie.
It's still a fucking pie.
Two Mine's very pizza. Different things. That's fair. I'll give him that. Welcome to the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about euphemisms and pie.
Make fun of each other.
In the middle here, we got Schwartz. And over here, we got George, who seems like he didn't have any unexpected surprise birthdays happen today.
Next birthday will be in August.
Yeah, nobody's birthday is at the end of the month. We don't even know that.
Yeah. Hey, George, did you bring it today?
Bring what?
A better attitude?
No.
Oh.
Go fuck yourself.
I've been seeing people do that on, like, Instagram reels.
Fucking themselves?
No. That line. I don't know. I had to try it. Sorry. I bought some good bourbon today. Like, the first, like, good bourbon I've ever bought, just because I've never been a big whiskey bourbon or whatever guy. So I got some of that. Basil Hayden. Toasted is in here with just a little splash of squirt and old fashioned mix.
You don't want the starry?
Yeah, squirt. I was feeling sour.
Ah.
Sippy sip. That's cute.
Schwartz, what are you drinking over there?
A smooth Vizzy. Nice. Refreshing seltzer.
Leather.
How was Mary Jo's birthday, George, that you missed us for last week, but we didn't know about it until like an hour before the show?
Hey, I still watched when I got home, but It was good, you know? Full stomach, nice burger.
Where'd you take her?
Adventures.
Did you...
Adventures is overrated as fuck.
Did you at least pay for it?
Yeah. What kind of son would I be if I didn't pay for my mother's birthday meal?
I don't know, you... You've done it before in the past.
Oof, duh.
Have I?
Poor Mary Jo.
Sometimes you just go up to her and just say, Mom, give me $100.
And you know what? Whoa. She'll give me $200.
Your mom's way too good for you. You know that?
Yeah.
And hot.
What? We want to talk about moms, huh?
No.
No.
Some of us don't have moms, George.
Little Miss Cindy Lou Who...
All right, this is getting weird already. We haven't talked about wrestling yet, and we're like four minutes into this. All right, I guess let's get this show started, and let's start with some news. And today's first story, Mercedes Moné, no surprise here. Mercedes debuted on Dynamite last night. No surprise, like I said, I felt like they tried to build this whole event in Boston around Mercedes debuting, and they tried to do it the same exact way that they did with Punk. To me, it wasn't as strong, and it didn't feel like as big of a deal. But in any case, she's there, I would assume, for multiple years. Supposedly, she had been signed with the company for 2 months, and they basically just waited until they went to Boston to bring her back.
Hmm. Yeah, Boston's very own.
How do we feel about Mercedes going with AEW as opposed to coming back to WWE?
Let her do her own thing. I did read on X earlier that she would like to come back to the WWE in a couple of years. Not sure, but I'm sure she'd be welcome back.
It's just going to build her resume and probably get more money when she comes back to WWE. So it's pretty much just building it all up just to come back.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she came out at the beginning of the show, like I said, just to kick everything off. Gave her speech about why she's in AEW. And then after the main event, it was Julia Hart against Willow Nightingale. And at the end, Willow was getting beaten down, and Mercedes came in to make the save. So it looks like her first feud there is going to be with Julia Hart. And so she's going after the TBS title rather than the the main women's title that Toni Storm has. By the way, I wish Toni Storm was in WWE because she's that character she has. I don't know how much you guys have seen of it, but it's so good.
I have, and she's honestly probably one of the funnier ones there, even though she's dead serious.
Chin up, tits out.
Yep.
We got Phil in the comments. He says, any good funerals lately? I can't say I've been into a funeral in a while. I don't know if it was a good one. What about you guys?
It's 2020, I think, was the last funeral I attended.
Was it a good one?
A sad one.
All right.
I was in two already this year.
Oh.
Only fucking 3.5 months in, man.
That's depressing.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Seven in the last 2 years.
Moving on from that, I guess. So some Hall of Fame stuff. Thunderbolt Patterson announced for the Hall of Fame. I'm not at all familiar with Thunderbolt Patterson. I'm not good on a lot of old things, so I don't want to speak too much to that. But Thunderbolt joins Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, Muhammad Ali, who I would guess is going to be in the celebrity wing or whatever, and the U.S. Express. Now, that being said, there are rumors of additional entrants going in as well. Potentially Bray Wyatt and Leah Maivia, The Rock's grandmother. So if anybody watched Young Rock, she was definitely a pioneer in wrestling. Like, no question about it. Doing a lot of promoting and all that jazz. So I think that would be cool. It sounds like The Rock has a pretty big say in the Hall of Fame class for this year. As far as Bray Wyatt goes, I would personally like to see them wait and make Bray a headliner. That's just what I would like to see personally.
I figured he would have been like the first person or the last person.
Yeah, that's why I figured if you were going to do it, that's how they would do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd still be happy if he went in this year. I would just be happier if he was the headliner.
You think he'll ever do like a Brody Lee?
I was just going to ask that. Do you think they'll do that?
I don't know.
I think they should.
I don't think... This is just me. I don't think Brody really had a Hall of Fame worthy career, at least not in the immediate future.
I get that.
Let's be real. WWE is just putting anybody in the Hall of Fame. If they had a decent run at all, anybody, they just put them in.
I just wish that they would do more historical entrance rather than, like, you know, you put Edge in and he still wrestled, and Angle and he still wrestled, and Sting and he still wrestled. Rey Mysterio. Yeah, exactly. Good example. To me, like, when they announce somebody like you haven't seen in a while, or like you've had a lot of time to reflect on that person's career or whatever, like, I don't know. I think it makes each person more special if they do it that way, personally.
It means more.
Right.
And gosh, when they started really doing the Hall of Fame, I know they've been doing it for a while, but from like when I can remember, didn't they do like 10 people at one time or like 12 people?
Maybe when they started, first started?
Yeah, wasn't it like late 90s, early 2000s? It was like, it was a lot of people, and then they started slowing down because they were doing a ton, it seemed like.
When did they start the Hall of Fame?
It was a long time ago.
I know that they've been doing it. It's just more of like when I remember.
They did it before I think they really put it on TV or anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is when they pretty much mainstreamed it.
Get back to us on that, George.
I'm working on it.
But how are your, I guess, your thoughts? You know, like, isn't Bray Wyatt's dad in that U.S. Express?
Yep.
Yes.
So it also means a lot, or it will mean a lot, to put Bray in this one.
So it started back on March 22nd, 1993.
I didn't realize it went back that far.
Oof. 239 total inductees.
Yeah.
Oh. I had no idea it was like that. Jeepers. All right, well, there you go, I guess.
The more
you know. I know that they did a ton in the beginning, so I feel like they started to slow down. And I did just see that there was a criteria that he who shall not be named.
I saw that too. I don't know if I'm going to go along with that, though.
I don't know. You kind of see it, and it's looking like it.
Rumor and innuendo. Speaking of.
Yes.
There are a couple names that are believed to be associated as far as executives from the company that are in some way, shape, or form a part of this sex trafficking and rape scandal that Vince is involved in. So Nick Khan, who is, of course, the CEO of the company, and Brad Blum, who I don't recall what his position is, but they were named as people associated with the case. But if you actually don't just read the headline of an article, but read the article sort of thing, I don't know about Brad, but for Nick Khan's case, it was read that he knew that Vince was trying to cover up an affair. He didn't know anything about the trafficking or rape or blackmail that was going on. He was supposedly unaware of any of that. So as it stands right now, WWE released a statement basically saying that they didn't know the extent of what Vince was trying to cover up. And therefore, I don't think there's any action being taken against Nick Khan or this other guy at this particular moment. There's no real accusations that are being pointed at them, so just had to bring that up because it's just something that's been brought up. So that's what I know about that.
Yeah, I think hearing more and more, you think they're going to keep breaking everything down and finding more and more people? Because I know obviously there's a ton of people that they don't.
I'm sure it's going to take them a long time before we finally get to the end and they've found everything that they can find and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Well, with that being said, I think we got some smacketh downeth to get into.
Yeah.
Wow, that was loud. What the fuck? I love it. Oh, hey, by the way, before we get into that, Shorts, I hope you have your party button ready because I don't know how, but one way or another, we've got over 200 subscribers on YouTube. Wow, that was really loud. Yeah. So thank you to everybody that has subscribed to us and checked us out.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And we love you.
Yeah.
Yo, when are we going to make shirts?
I'm only like a block away from the t-shirt place.
I thought about that on my drive down. I'm like, you know, we're like 9 episodes in.
Yeah, I've considered it.
What about 500 subscribers? Then we'll start.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm not that we should necessarily sell them, but I guess if anybody said, hey, I'd buy a shirt, then yeah, sure.
Unless it has a tombstone with CM Punk's name on it. Oh, don't throw it at me.
You mean this shirt?
It has not left
this awful
spot.
Yes, it has. It was on the table.
I think there's a skid mark on there.
Yeah, did you see what I did with it last time?
No. Maybe. Fucking tag still on and all.
I flossed my ass crack with it.
Alrighty.
It's So there you go.
Worth $24.
I was going to say, there's no way you thought he was just going to wear that around just willingly.
The camera will come back soon. Apparently, I'm getting a phone call, and we use my phone as our camera, which is neat.
Who is it?
That's smart.
It's my father.
Can we get him on the show?
Tell him to come on in and subscribe.
We got a shirt for him.
That's true. We can get him a shirt. But yeah. What are you
He's working on the camera.
Oh. I guess we can jump into SmackDown right away.
Do it up.
Of course they're starting the show with The Rock. And he comes riding in with the big old F-150 because they're in Dallas. Is that where they were again?
Yep.
Which was a sold-out show.
That place was packed.
It was. And they did a whole wraparound too later. Yeah. And just to see. I think they're doing that, though, I don't know. I'm secretly thinking they're doing this because I've seen pictures on AEW of AEW, people leaking pictures of how empty their arenas are.
Oh, yeah, like the back of the camera is just, there's no one.
It's less than half of the stadium. Ooh. Or of the arenas. That's how much they have. So they're doing great. Of course they're going to do great because the Bloodline is also there too. So they walk in they show the Bloodline walking in and then Cody walking in and he notices Seth. And so they end up walking together.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have their own security. So they were fully prepared for the situation.
I just want to point out really quick.
Yeah.
The show started with The Rock getting there, and motherfucker gets out of the truck, out of his F-150, and he doesn't turn the truck off. Am I the only one that noticed that? He just left the motherfucker running and then started walking away.
I did not notice.
What the fuck?
How did you know that it didn't turn off?
Because I watched it, and you could hear it the whole time, too, but also the lights and shit never turned off.
Okay, time out. Did you guys notice they had the semi-trucks in the back?
Mm-mm.
They had Cesaro on the side of the semi. And then when they did a replay of it, they had the WWE symbol over Cesaro's face.
I did not.
Yeah, I caught that shit. I'm like, oh, those sneaky fuckers.
When they did the replay later in the show? I'll have to go back and see that because that actually seems really funny. It seems lazy, too. But anyways, the show starts and Logan Paul's music hits and he walks out talking about how good he is. You know, the same kind of promos he's been doing probably since he's gotten there.
Yep.
And every time he's saying something, the crowd is invested because it's the entire place is packed and they're screaming what?
Mm-hmm.
He claims that he's the reason that WWE is doing so well. Not giving any graces to The Rock, and he ends up unveiling the Prime logo in the middle of the ring.
Not a fan of it. Not a fan of it.
Massive logo. Also, why do you think that they picked that kind Prime?
I'm sure they'll like change the kind or flavor, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Yeah. Like, probably like different shows, maybe pay-per-views. Like, I don't like it. Nope.
Yeah, I think they need to just put it in like the corners rather than the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems way overbearing. He unveils the Prime and his the first ever logo put on a WWE ring. And he's the sole sponsor for the ring, the WWE.
Him and KSI.
And then KSI, he announces, the logo is the company, so they're both together. So, but then he welcomes KSI to the ring, which being a boxer, he doesn't really look so athletic.
He looks really tiny.
He does. But KSI walks into the ring, and the two try to take a selfie, and in the middle of the ring, and right before the picture snaps, Randy Orton's music plays, and they're both looking at the tunnel, but Randy never walks out. So then out walks from the crowd Randy, and slides right in between the picture, and he tries to hit Logan with the RKO, but Logan evades and slides out of the ring, leaving KSI with Orton. Orton RKOs KSI in the middle of the ring, right over the Prime bottle, and he grabs a Prime bottle that KSI brought in the ring and drinks it, and he says, "It's pretty good.
This is really good."
Yeah, and then he pours it all over KSI.
He poured it right onto his dick.
He KSI took that fucking RKO like a champ.
He sold it really well.
Yeah.
I wonder if they I wonder if Logan taught him how to sell that.
I don't know.
I think Logan has his own ring. I think he demanded WWE to send him a ring to Puerto Rico.
It wouldn't be the first one.
Boxing ring, I think he had. Maybe. I don't know. Regardless, it was good. What do you think? Do you see that title having the same issue or same situation as the Intercontinental title?
I personally think Randy would win that title at Mania. Because I think that's where that's going, right? They have to be doing that match at Mania.
Do we think it's going to be a triple threat? KO?
What about Kevin?
What about him? He hasn't been involved at all. Not since Elimination Chamber.
He was there on Friday.
He's been involved with Logan, yeah.
Because the main event after Randy... was it the main event?
No, because Randy stayed out there.
Yeah, but I don't think they've had anything to do with each other since Chamber. That was a few weeks ago.
I think... maybe. I don't know. Kevin has had a really... He's had this thing going on with Theory and Waller, but Logan is also tied to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's...
I mean, I would like to see KO involved.
I think I'd like to see KO have a title.
I'd like to see Randy have a title.
It's been a while.
Randy's done his time, though.
Well, yeah, he had the tag titles with Riddle last.
I forgot about that.
But I guess KO has had the title last because he also had the tag titles not too long ago.
Last WrestleMania.
Well, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, that was after that, though. That was probably, roughly a year ago today. Not today. Probably in, a few months. Because they only had the tag titles for a few months. Him and Sammy. But, regardless, cut back to commercial, or from commercial break, with Randy and Kevin versus Grayson and Waller and Austin Theory. Theory and Kevin start the match out, and Kevin gets the better of Theory pretty much the entire time. So then Theory tags Waller in. Waller looks at Owens, and then Owens looks back at Randy, and Randy calls for the tag, but Waller tries to talk Owens into not tagging him. Orton ends up getting the tag, and Orton takes control of Waller, and the match kind of goes on, and looks like Waller is more intimidated by Randy, but also antagonizes him. So he's just doing everything, kind of like a little brother thing.
You know all about really, that.
It sucks. But the match goes on, and Theory and Waller make a mistake, and Waller gets stunned out of the ring, and lets Theory turn around for a pop up powerbomb RKO. So he threw him over his head like a pop-up. Well, tried to do a pop-up powerbomb and throws him over his head for an RKO. Randy and Kevin end up winning, which they went to celebrate, and Logan attacks both of them from behind and tries to pull the brass knucks out, and Randy takes him from him. And then Logan rolls out of the ring and walks up the ramp with Theory and Waller, pretty much just aligning with them still.
That's that.
You forgot to mention that it almost looked like that Randy was going to hit KO with the brass knucks.
I don't know if I don't. I mean, I saw that, but I didn't know if I.
Obviously, he wasn't going to. He was going for Logan, but
I'd like to see a triple threat match.
That's what I want.
It would be nice. It would be nice because I think with I think Logan would get his ass kicked by both of them for a while.
Oh yeah, that's what I'd like to see
for a bit. Yeah. And then it cut to Bailey's interview with Kayla Braxton, and she was saying that she's pretty much all alone in this, you know, damage control battle. But she'll adapt like she always has, which is true. She's adapted with her character a lot.
She mentioned that she had this coming and takes full, you know, responsibility and all that.
Such a baby face thing to say too.
Oh yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So hard, yeah. And so, you know, the interview kind of, you know, back and forth, like, I deserve this, you know, but I'm going to prevail and all this stuff and whatever. So then it cuts to Naomi watching it on a TV in the back. And you could tell she's definitely feeling for the situation. And Bianca comes walking in and asks why she's watching the interview and tells her that she should just not feel bad for Bailey because she did this to herself. And they kind of talked a little bit, but still didn't change Naomi's mind. And she still felt bad the whole time and said she really feels for her. Bianca then walked off, and Naomi's looking like she's still contemplating whether she wants to help Bailey or not. So,
yeah, she's
that
conflicted.
Could be something.
So this is something that Bianca kind of said a little bit, but basically. Naomi left WWE a couple of months before Damage Control was formed. So, I mean, Bayley had been a heel for a while, but she left right before Damage Control came out at that SummerSlam, I believe it was in Nashville. So Naomi wasn't there to see all the shitty things that Bayley and Damage Control did. So I love how much sense it makes that Naomi feels bad because she wasn't there for all the other shit the other women were put through because of Bayley.
Which is really good storytelling too, because
love it. Yeah,
she's never had to endure any of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Then it cut to Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross, which this was a hard hitting match, but it also didn't. I don't know. I just don't know why this didn't really intrigue me. This match, it was pretty good.
I don't think any of Lashley and his group. And the Final Testament has intrigued me as much as I wanted to. I think there's a lot there with Final Testament. I just don't think, you know, you put him in the middle of the card. It doesn't feel like anybody has a lot of heat. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to like this more.
And I think, you know, they're not really doing anything with B-Fab either for Bobby Lashley's group, which has no name, by the way, which is very it's really hard to kind of categorize them in anything.
Mm-hmm. Hurt Business 2.0.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. And I don't really know if, you know, the Street Profits are really, they're just putting everybody in the mid card, which just kind of like puts them in the back essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen Bobby Lashley be, you know, he's had the main titles. And had this huge buildup for just him going to the mid card, and he's just forgettable now. I don't know. This match wasn't that great. It was hard hitting, but it didn't really keep me invested. Also, I noticed that Bobby was billed from Dallas, Texas, not Boulder, Colorado.
Interesting.
So they pandered to the crowd, which of course they're going to do that with Bobby. Which he's, I don't know. I like Bobby actually as a wrestler. I really do.
Sure.
Like I said, it was hard hitting. Kross had control for most of the match until he got thrown out of the ring. Bobby threw Kross into the ring post, and the two go back and forth against it, to where Bobby set up for the spear and AOP, and it ended up interfering. And then the Street Profits came out to save Bobby, which is, you know, of course it's going to happen. They're not going to finish a match. They're going to set this up for something else. The four. We're battling on the outside of the ring, the Street Profits and AOP, and then Scarlett tries to interfere with Bobby, and B-Fab comes in and just fucking annihilates her. And it pretty much ended up being that AOP got the best of the Prophets, and then all three of the Final Testament took out Bobby Lashley at the end. So it's going to definitely set up something probably for WrestleMania, because it does not look like they have too much for 2 days worth of WrestleMania at all right now.
It's definitely a night one match.
I could see this being a pre-show match.
Oh, even worse. Night one pre-show.
There's no heat behind this. They have so many other things going on right now. I digress.
They literally could do Chad. They could do Chad Gable versus fucking Ricochet, and it'd be better.
I support that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Jose Marino in the chat says they basically it feels like that they're good, respectable wrestlers, but they're there to fill a time slot. And I don't totally disagree. I feel like if you want to make either of these groups mean something, then you take Final Testament and you put them against
Judgment Day.
Well,
wouldn't be terrible.
I was going to say, I mean, take either one of them and put against Bloodline or Judgment Day or a really formidable faction that is well established and is over already.
Yeah. It's tough though to do Bloodline though, because you take Jey Uso out of it and Jimmy's just with Solo. So, I mean, they're a good tag team, but you don't have the best tag team ever going against those guys. So,
I like you with like tough. A Judgment Day.
I think they would do fairly decent. It's tough when you have AOP when they're massive human beings and then they fight against tiny ass dudes and they squash the absolute shit out of them. Going back, Dragon Lee shows up. Is this the first time we've seen him on SmackDown?
No. I think it's been a while, but it's definitely not the first.
Okay. I haven't seen him in a while, though. He's talking on the phone with someone when Legado del Fantasma walks in and up to him. And they pretty much start talking shit to him and how he'll never be the next Rey Mysterio and kind of laugh at him and make fun of him. He says that LWO is nothing, just like Rey Mysterio. And they shove him to the ground like some bully stuff. So it's like, all right, we're grown-ass men. And shove him to the ground and they just kind of laugh and walk away. I don't know. I didn't really like it. I think it's just too much. I understand they're pandered to children, too, so they're showing kids how to bully.
Take it easy.
Got me right here, man.
Right there.
Right in the middle. But that was pretty much it. Pretty much setting up something for later. Then it cuts to Tiffany Stratton and Meechan. They finally gave Tiffany her entrance back because of last week.
Still with shitty ass music though.
I think it'll grow.
Mm-mm.
He's not gonna let it down.
No, it's terrible. I don't care.
Maybe you should send something in. Give her your version of it.
I want what she had.
Remember you making your music video and your music? You should give her that one. The Marcus one.
We didn't have a video.
No video.
I thought you had a video with it. I thought you had a video.
Just a song.
Too bad it is gone forever.
It is.
Jose says, Stratton coming up. Yeah, they're going to push the shit out of her after WrestleMania.
Oh, they have been. Oh, yeah. Yeah, after Mania is a great time to do it. You reset all your feuds. Now it's time to build some people back up.
Calling it right now, future Money in the Bank winner.
I think she...
exactly what I was just going to
say. Honestly, I think... right now, in my short-sightedness, I would pick her to win Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and they can easily do, because they like to do the themed Money in the Bank things. You make it pink, you put diamonds on it.
Oh, she'd be such a perfect person to have that. And that's one reason.
And then, okay, so do you see any of the two main titles for the women? Do you see them both? Like, I see Rhea keeping her title. I see Bayley winning the title.
I see Bayley
winning. I agree
winning.
With both of those.
But the shitty thing is that, well, I don't know. Bailey can at least win it, you know, get over, do all that stuff, try to break up damage control, and then just lose it.
Yeah.
So
and we'll get to damage control
it'd be
more.
Fine. But anyways, Tiffany Stratton, she got like 95% of the entire match of the whole offense. Pretty much, I called it a glorified jobber match. Like, I feel bad for Meechan. She just does, is pretty much jobs out, and she's better than that. She tried to look, or she tried to do a Styles clash. It looked like, but Tiffany got her up and King Alabama slammed her through the ring. And it set her up for the moonsault, which by far her best moonsault she's had on the main roster.
Oh, that yeah, it was great. Looked great.
Connected.
Agreed.
You know, she had the mess up, but who cares?
Happens.
Like, it was just like the small, yeah, whatever. But that was decent. I mean, she showed her worth. Still does it every day. God, my computer died in like an hour. Anyways, a vignette played of AJ explaining why he attacked LA Knight, yeah! Which was good to hear why, because I didn't know if they were going to get into that. He explained why he attacked LA Knight, and he says that he's pissed because he took his momentum and he's basically overrated.
Yeah.
LA Knight watched the vignette and he steps back. And he takes his chair and he hits the TV many times. And the crowd yells, after.
That TV was not getting up after that.
That TV had a family. All right. While Shorts is looking for his laptop charger, we got Angel, not Garza anymore, apparently, against Dragon Lee. Angel came out with the rest of Legado del Fantasma, and before Dragon Lee came out, they showed a quick shot showing all of security in front of the Bloodline's locker room. The camera then cuts to New Catch's Republic Tyler Bate playing 2K24 in the locker room, which, by the way, I've been having a lot of fun with 2K24 so far. I wish you guys would get it, but you're both little bitches, and you're not doing it. Pete Dunne walks in without saying a word, and Tyler explained he's just playing as them against the Judgment Day, and he looks at Pete Dunne. And he goes, "You're right, we should be in the gym training. I'll go talk to Nick Aldis about the tag titles." He walks off while Pete Dunne sneakily plays the rest of Tyler Bates' match on 2K24.
It was so funny because Pete didn't have to say a single word, and Tyler Bates just pretty much talked to himself.
Yeah, that's kind of their dynamic.
Love it.
More or less. So anyways, this Dragon Lee and Angel Garza match. Dragon Lee, he takes control of the match immediately, hits Angel with many hard shots. Angel fakes a knee injury and hits Dragon Lee with a drop kick. The match goes on with high-flying moves, of course. Dragon Lee hits a Hurricane Rana reversal from a powerbomb into a pin, and Dragon Lee wins the match. Legado del Fantasma attacks Dragon Lee. Wade Barrett lets everyone know that the LWO is not in the building. So I'm glad that they mentioned that, because obviously we would assume where the hell is LWO to make the save for Dragon Lee here. So that was that segment.
Was that really needed, though, I guess?
It depends on what happens next week.
Obviously, they're not gone. They just set this up.
If they extend the story, then sure. As long as they keep going with it,
you think
it makes sense.
My thought was that Ray is finally done, and he kind of passes the torch off to Dragon Lee.
Yeah, I can see it.
That was what my thought was.
I can see it.
Damage control jumps on the screen. Dakota Kai says she has always been the brains of this whole damage control operation. And they all go back and forth, and EO says that this has always been EO's era since day one. And then Dakota Kai says they'll find out next week. So that is in the question. What the hell are they talking about?
Big question mark.
Then Nick Aldis goes up to Seth and Cody's locker room, kind of like what we were talking about before about the security. He knocks on the door, opens the door a little bit, and he sees that the two aren't in there.
Hmm.
He He asked the security guard that was directly next to that door, and he asked where the two were, and he had no idea, which, I don't know. But set up, and someone called it. I think it was like, I think he goes by Bully Ray now, but it's Billy Ray. He actually Bully called Ray. It the week. Yeah, well, it's Bully Ray, obviously, but we always knew him as Billy Ray.
When Bubba. Did we know him as, what are you talking
Bubba
about?
Ray.
Isn't he, isn't it?
Huh? Fucking idiot.
Bubba Ray,
did
mean,
you just call
Billy
him Billy,
Ray.
Like Billy Ray Silas? Don't break my achy, you fucking idiot.
That is Bubba Ray.
I was going to try not to say fuck too many times, and he just ruined it. My sister told me a couple weeks ago I said fuck too much, and then I listened to it back. I'm like, oh my god, I was like, I'm a terrible person.
I was like, why are you guys?
No, you're fucking
this?
Idiot.
Bubba Ray,
Billy Ray. Oh no.
Whatever. I have one.
How you fuck that up?
You call everybody the wrong name.
I do. What do you mean?
You always fuck up names.
No comment.
It was one time.
You cannot blame the braces.
I'm trying to remember.
See,
I mean,
George is on my side.
I mean, I always used to fuck up
Bukkake.
I almost did it right there. I always used to fuck up Kabuki Warriors and Bukkake Warriors. I don't. There was one. There was another one. I can't remember.
Well, big of a mess up. It's a complete different horrible word.
It can be a fun word. I don't know.
Bukkake.
Yeah, it's a fun word to say.
If only. Anyways, my apologies. It was Bubba Ray. I'm sorry. He said that he thinks that Seth and Cody were going to come out from the crowd. And we'll hear about it later. But the Bloodline comes out, and then they come out separately. And then The Rock comes out with his new entrance,
which was really fucking cool. Fire.
It was really good.
I told you I had to text you and like say it.
Yeah.
Fuck your. So story. Roman tells the crowd to Roman tells the crowd to acknowledge him, and before the crowd could really do anything, Cody's music plays, and both him and Seth walk out from the crowd. They both walk out on separate sides, too, of the section, kind of like the Shield. Seth had tape on his mouth. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah. I forgot what it said, though.
I didn't see. I saw writing on it, but I did not see what it said. The two made their way down to the inside of the ring, and the crowd was screaming, holy shit. And they sang Seth's song, too, which Seth's song didn't even play, which is probably the most over besides Cody's yeah part of any song.
I would argue that the only thing getting Seth over largely is his song, but go on.
That is true.
I don't think that Seth's character is there, but that's another topic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a hot take. I would say some people, including me, I guess, I think it's pretty over. I think it's finally came out opposed being... What did he say? It was a Joker type thing. But anyways, Cody grabs a mic and talks about how he heard the challenge and asked if The Rock had the authority to make that match on the account that he acknowledged Roman Reigns, which as his tribal chief. That struck a nerve in The Rock, and he flipped. You could hear the change in his voice. He was pissed. He was assertive. He loves calling Seth a walking clown emoji.
I'm so sick of it. Say something
you know, it was
different.
Funny. It was funny. Like he said it like three times, four, I don't know, maybe half dozen times in his little promo, his TikTok.
Yep.
And maybe like one time in the promo on SmackDown, and it would have been fine, but I think he said it like three or four more times after that.
Walking clown emoji.
He loved saying that. The Rock said that he acknowledged Roman Reigns because he's what family does. And then he reiterated the challenge and tried to talk, but the crowd screamed diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Which...
oh, He took it like a champ. He kind of just let it fizzle out, and he asked Cody if he accepted the challenge. And Seth interjected and said, "Shut the hell up, Mr. Midlife Christ
line." Great line.
He said that The Rock had his time, and now it's his time. Or now he's taking their time. Seth, super heated, ends up accepting the challenge, while Cody looked pretty puzzled. Like, did we really talk about it? We were going to kind of maybe say something beforehand before he accepted it, kind of look. And he said, sorry, there's something itchy on my leg. But he looked puzzled. Roman laughed and asked Cody why he was letting Seth accept the challenge, and that he must be from Texas if he's letting him do that. Which I don't really know if that... I don't know. I really didn't get that. You can say that to get cheap heat, but I don't really know if Texas really is part of that.
No idea.
Roman and Rock both tell Cody that that Cody will never get a shot at the title ever again if he loses at WrestleMania 40.
Cody Rhodes, listen to The Rock. With everything in The Rock's guts, if you do not complete this story and if you don't win, you will never, ever get another shot at this again. You run your mouth. You chant your chants. Listen, look in The Rock's eyes when he tells you this. This is family. This right now is family. Roman's grandfather looking down is proud. The Rock's grandfather, the high chief, is looking down. And right now, your dad, the American dream, one of The Rock's heroes, is looking down. Isn't it true that you're the youngest of three? And isn't it true that your sister was a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys? And isn't it true that your brother is a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer? Yeah, and you're 20 years younger than your siblings. Is that right? You know why? Because you were a mistake.
So that happened. So Cody gets his receipt and he slaps back. I fucking hate George so much. George is wearing a stupid ass cat mask. Come here. No, come here. If you're going to have the balls to put it on, then you're going to walk into frame wearing that stupid mask.
Show me.
We bought this to scare. I bought this to scare our cats.
Oh my God. You guys. Oh my. That's like Bray Wyatt type shit. That is terrifying.
Oh, fuck, that was good.
Oh, you put it on the cat ears.
Frickin' gosh.
Sorry, I had to. I saw the opportunity. Where were we?
Is that new?
What?
That cat mask, is that new?
I've had it for a few months.
How did I not see that when we were over there last time?
I don't know. It was probably hiding in the closet or something. Kelly came home one night, like late or something like that. I was down here playing video games, and she thought she would scare me and put it on and walk up to me, and it didn't work. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
She was probably hammered.
It worked on the cats, though.
Those poor cats. Anyways, that slap was pretty good. Connected the whole thing. Saw it. Slow mo.
I wish they did it in a different moment. Because saying you were an accident, like, it's so, like, who doesn't hear that? You were an accident. Like, it's so, like, it's such a dumb thing to say. That's, I mean, most of the time it's like, they well, had yeah, to, so what?
They had to figure out something to hit a chord. But I did notice, too, that The Rock was, when he was saying that, he was like, started talking about his dad, but then all of a sudden, just like without any transition, just cut right to like the kids, and he said, "Oh, you're 20 years younger than your siblings." And I was like, well, what are you? What were you getting about your dad or about his dad? You're just like how much he admired him.
I don't know.
Fucking dog.
So I don't know. The match is officially official. Yeah, I thought it was weird that that one particular comment is what set Cody off. But whatever. I also didn't understand why the whole security thing was a thing when they ended up walking out by themselves and the security didn't even matter anyway. I didn't understand the point of that personally. But this feels a lot like Cody in AEW because I was watching AEW a lot at the time where basically he lost whatever match against whoever it was against. And now because he made the stipulation, like, if I lose this match, I will never go after the championship match again. And this feels similar because if he loses this match, Rock's like, hey, you're done. Possible. Like, I'm the boss now. Like, you're never going after this title again if you lose. So it feels very similar in ways.
And we know that it's possible because it's happened already. Which I didn't like. I do not like that. I don't like that stipulation at all.
I like it as long as Cody wins. So that's where we're at. We're officially official with the tag match. Yeah, it was pretty straightforward. So we'll get The Rock. I believe they're in Memphis this week, which will be, I think, pretty big. Memphis is very historic wrestling, and I think that's where Rock more or less got started wrestling, was in Memphis for Jerry Lawler. So there we go. Now to Monday Night Raw. Show opens with Travis Scott and getting to the arena in a Cybertruck. And if you don't listen to rap music, Travis Scott is a piece of shit who watched people die at his concert and wouldn't stop the concert.
Jesus.
So there you go. That's my perception.
Apparently you apparently have a hard stance on him.
Yeah.
It was harsh. Very widely reported. I think it's hard to find any other stance if you were even a little aware of that scenario.
Yeah. He's also, I'm sure there's other people. I think, isn't there other people that also had that situation happen?
No.
I know someone.
I'm not trying to justify.
Someone actually
stopped
the concert.
He was the one that was playing and wouldn't stop. So.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I gotcha.
Show after he comes out in a Cybertruck, which those are fucking awful looking. Drew comes out. He starts to say Seth is hypocritical and a selfish junkie for wanting to do two main events at Mania. And I get where they're going with this. It makes total sense. The crowd starts saying what? And Drew says, what? Or say what if you're glad I took out CM Punk? And then everybody said what? And they're like, oh, fuck, wait. We didn't mean that. So then there's a bunch of CM Punk chants. Drew says the big picture out of everyone in this whole situation is The Rock. It's not Drew. It's not Seth. It's not Cody. Drew mentions that whatever's happening with Cody and Rock is none of Seth's business, and that Drew is a champion that can be invested in. Seth then comes out and he tells Drew, now that the night one main event is figured out, he tells Drew that maybe he can get his full attention after one more claymore. And then he starts getting into different positions for Drew to hit him on his knees, takes off his sunglasses, turns his back to him, gives him every opportunity to hit another claymore.
Which plays into his character.
Yeah, 100%. Drew says he only wants to talk and to tell Seth that he was right. Oh, man, they did this so well, and I love what they're doing with this. Drew says before their last match, Seth told him he needed to get over the bloodline because that was a thing for a while, right? Like, you need to stop worrying about the bloodline. Stop whining and bitching about the bloodline. Drew says he took that advice, and then he tried to give that advice back to Seth Rollins because now Seth Rollins is worrying about other people that he doesn't need to be worrying about. Seth says that Drew is starting to remind him of the biggest hypocrite he's ever met before Drew, and that is CM Punk. Seth then tells Drew that he must be trying to be an honorary member of the Bloodline due to a couple recent wins that he picked up due to Bloodline interference. Seth then goes on to say that he's going to beat Drew at Mania. Drew says that Seth is just trying to provoke him, get him to swing. Drew leaves the ring, and Seth says, hey, Drew, one more thing.
Hey, Drew! Drew! One more thing. You want to know why I haven't paid much attention to you on the road to WrestleMania? Well, because of all the things, all the threats, the list of threats that I'm worried about going into WrestleMania. You got The Rock, you got Roman Reigns, you got my broken back, you got my blown out knee. And then at the very bottom of the list, the thing that I'm worried about the least is Drew McIntyre.
So that seems to set off, I guess, trip Drew and get him upset. And he kind of storms the ring, gets back to ringside, and he's kind of acting like he's going to get in the ring and hit Seth or whatever. And then he backs down and then storms into the back all mad. Like, Jose in the comments says, McIntyre's like a broken record crybaby, cannot stand him as of late. I think he's been getting better as of late. I think he's been less of a crybaby. He's been more pointed. He's been more sensible. And I think he's been a lot more comfortable and confident on the mic week over week. And this is probably the most I've actually ever enjoyed Drew.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's also coming off as like whiny, though. It's very good
to a point. But it's all making a lot of sense.
It is at this point, yes.
So I thought that was good. I don't know about you guys. I'm picturing Drew over Seth at Mania for the title.
Yes. I think Seth's going to take some time off, too.
And I think that Seth can blame it on wrestling. I don't know if they didn't say if that match is going to be night one or night two. I would imagine it would have to be night one, right?
The tag team?
No, they're not going to double him up. They're going to put him on night two.
Tag team is night one, and then both championships are night
two. No. The heavyweight title match.
That's night two.
Yeah, that's going to be a night two because
did they say that though?
Yeah, pretty sure they announced it on Friday.
It's probably they did. It's a co-main event.
That doesn't mean anything.
It puts them right in front of Cody's match.
No,
they've done the co-main event before.
Double co-main event doesn't mean it's their matches are going to be next to each other,
unless you start night two with Seth and Drew.
I'm pretty sure they said co-main event.
Yeah, but still, that doesn't mean anything.
I guess it would. Why would it?
They've done it before where they've said, oh, it's a co-main event, and one match is the end of night one, and the other match is the end of night two. Like, co-main event doesn't mean anything. It's just marketing jargon. It doesn't actually mean anything about when the match is taking place. Like, sometimes the main event isn't actually the main event.
I mean, normally the main events are at the very end.
That's what they're supposed to be, but WWE's done it before where that's not the case.
I suppose. I don't know. I don't really know the situation, but I believe you.
I would like to see them not do both title matches on the same night.
But, like, you either...
So...
You have to double someone up then.
Yeah. It's going to happen regardless, I feel like.
In one night?
I think... I mean, they can. I don't see a reason they can't do it. I think you could do... Gosh, now that I'm thinking about it, there's so many different ways they can go with it. Because if they like, take Drew and Seth and start them night two, and then that leaves maybe... leaves them to put one of the women's matches at the main event of night one...
It'd be Rhea and Becky.
And maybe start night one with the tag match. I don't know if they would do that, but...
No, I think they also said that the tag match is the main event on night one.
See, now that's three main events.
Yeah, I know that. I think they're just... The reason why they put the main event jargon on there is because it's their top stars. That's why they did it. They literally will put Seth and Drew, and like you said, main event, and they could put it at the beginning, but it's because they're two top stars.
Yeah,
they would never put EO and Bailey as
no.
Main event. Why don't they just build two rings and have the match at the same time?
Stop it.
Honestly, it would be funny. It'd be great.
I hate it.
So many chants going on.
I think I think that the placement of the matches very well could play into who wins, who loses, and what's the story coming out of it. I do picture Drew beating Seth, and then I picture...
Do you think it's clean? Do you think it's clean?
Yeah. I think it has to be clean in order for it to mean anything.
You don't think Bloodline's going to interfere because of the tag match?
Depends on the order of the matches. Maybe. We'll see.
It's hard to tell.
But I think Drew wins, and then once Punk is healed up and ready to go, Punk comes and he challenges him right away and gets in that title picture right after. Because it's clear that's going to be Punk's first feud when he comes back.
He's expected around SummerSlam, right?
I don't know.
Oh.
That makes sense.
It's so tough to even think about Drew even losing that in the future.
Next on Raw, Damage Control gets to the building. We get a Chad Gable vignette for the Gauntlet match, which somewhat convinced me that Gable was going to win that match.
His story works.
Exactly. Then we get Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan, which is happening because both of them interfered in each other's matches with Nia Jax the week and the week previous to that. Both had strong offense and looked great. The match had some time. Becky took a huge powerbomb from the apron to the floor, which was pretty wicked. And to end the match, Liv came off the second rope towards Becky. Becky sidestepped her, and she hit the manhandle slam and pinned Liv Morgan for the win. Becky gives Liv Morgan a look of approval as Liv starts to walk up the ramp. And then Rhea comes out. As Rhea's walking down the ramp, she takes some words from Liv, because obviously Liv Morgan has been working to get to Rhea to get her revenge for taking her out. Rhea gets in the ring and tells Becky that every week she seems to be getting into fights closer and closer to Mania, and she knows why. She says despite what Becky says, it's because she knows Rhea is better. Rhea says if she keeps fighting so she's not 100% for Mania, and she can use it as an excuse for losing to Rhea at Mania. Becky says that she's had some doubt about her being better than Rhea, but when the people believe in her, she's good, and when she's doubted, she's great. I don't know. I think Becky in this situation... Becky in this situation with Liv has looked like more of the heel than Liv has, because Becky was first to interfere in Liv's match, and that what led to this. And I know they're not trying to play it that way, but it's like, why did she bother interfering in that match? So I don't know.
Well, because Nia attacked her.
Right, but she still interfered in somebody else's match. And
true.
I expected Nia
caused
to come
her
out.
To lose.
I expected Nia to come out during that match, and I'm surprised she didn't.
Same. I was expecting that match to never finish.
Yeah.
And have both of them just kind of like, because what'd they say? The last time that those two wrestled was like 2 years ago.
Oh, longer. Who?
Becky and
Rhea? Yeah,
Becky and Liv. Maybe it was.
They were talking
Rhea,
about Becky and Rhea, because the last time they went against each other was like back in NXT. And so that was more than 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking like Liv and Becky, because I feel like those two probably could have like a no finish and be fine.
Yeah. All in all, it's been a good cohesive weekly storyline. You know, Liv is pissed at Nia because she's going after Rhea, but she wants Rhea to get revenge on her. Everything makes sense, you know?
What if this becomes a fatal four-way?
I don't think it does. I think it's
it
just,
won't.
Didn't they do that at a WrestleMania, like, 18?
No, like it was...
Rock Show, Triple H, and Jericho?
I don't know.
No, not Jericho.
Beats me.
When Rock won the Rumble.
I can't say, I'm sure. So then, this was a pretty cool one. Next, we got Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis backstage, and they announced that for WrestleMania, there will be a six-pack ladder match for the tag team championships, and there will be matches taking place before then to determine the other five competitors to go against Judgment Day for those titles. So then it cuts to the Judgment Day in their fucking stupid clubhouse thing, upset, and they leave to go to talk to Adam Pearce because they're not happy about this announcement. I loved this. Next is Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri of Alpha Academy versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Oh my God, I love this so much. I did not expect it, but man, I can't wait to see this on Raw this coming
Monday.
I'm
glad they leaned on it.
Oh,
it's so
man.
Fucking dark.
Man, so remember the week previous, Candice LeRae was getting sick of being nice, and it's not getting her and Indy anywhere, and yada yada. So match starts after a couple minutes. Maxine Dupri and Indy Hartwell are tagged in. Maxine looked pretty good for the few moves that she was able to get in.
Seconds.
Yeah, so, I mean, good for her. And, of course, she's gotten a lot of flack online for not looking good in the ring or whatever the case may be, getting booed at house shows, even though she's a babyface, yada, yada. We talked about it before. So she's in the middle of a reverse caterpillar, and she gets stopped by Candice LeRae.
Well, not quite that, but sort of this. The reverse caterpillar.
No, she's not taking it. You can't even do right. She's not taking that. You look stupid. Are you serious? Are you serious right now? You're going to try that on us? You know why people are booing you, right? Because you don't belong here. Oh, that hurt your feelings? If you think the internet hates you, you should hear what the girls in the locker room have to say about you. Oh, you're gonna cry? It's a good thing your dead brother isn't here to see what an embarrassment you've come.
I'm not doing this.
What? What's wrong?
Pulls a Christian Cage and talks about the dead brother. And
has that ever been said? Not like, you know, her about her.
Well, I'm sure.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that, but now I do. And now I'm like, holy fuck. Loved it. They're bringing real life into it. They're making it spicy, and they're making me want to see what the hell is going to happen with it next. And I can't believe I'm saying that about a storyline in the women's tag division. And I'm happy about it.
Maxine Dupri.
This just wild. So anyways, after Maxine walks away from Candice as she's getting the shit talked out of her, as Maxine goes to leave the ring, Indy takes out Maxine Dupri to win the match.
A super kick.
Oh man, that was so good. I loved it.
That was dark.
Yeah.
Very dark.
Yeah, hell yeah. I love it.
Was back to her NXT character.
Next, we got Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis talking backstage, basically congratulating each other on the six-pack ladder match. And, of course, they're confronted by Judgment Day, who are upset about the match at Mania because Finn is afraid of heights, and Damian Priest says they already proved they're the best faction and don't need to prove it anymore. They ask, whose idea was this match? And they the general managers say that it was Miz and Truth. Judgment Day says they want Truth and Miz in the ring tonight. Adam Pearce says they aren't there because they're off doing media. And then Truth walks in and he's all confused because Adam's like, I thought you were doing media. He's like, no, like whatever. And then he's like, what day is it? He's like, it's Monday. He's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, because he was like, no, that's on Monday.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He's like, no, it is Monday.
My bad.
So now we're going to do this in-ring interview segment between Cody Rhodes and Michael Cole. So first, there's a recap that plays from the segment on SmackDown where they accepted the challenge. Michael Cole starts and he says that Rock was touting how he is the boss and mentions how Rock and Cody will never get another title shot if Cody loses. He asks why he slapped the Rock. Cody says that it feels good to slap his boss. If he really is his boss. Cody said Rock was a great wrestler and he knows the slap was just a receipt. Cole then asked why he accepted the tag match knowing what's at stake. Mentioned Seth was the last one to beat Roman one-on-one, which maybe that plays a role at some point in time if like Cody and Seth feud or something like that and that comes up. He asks Cody how he can trust Seth. Cody says, people change. CM Punk said, people change. Cody alluded to the fact that he smashed the throne, which he did at an AEW pay-per-view, Triple H's throne. So he alluded to that. Cody says this is his only shot for getting a fair fight against Roman, and that's why he's agreeing to work with Seth and do the tag match. Cody says he wants to answer a question Cole asked the last time they did an interview together. And that being how Cody was so close to winning the championship like his dad did. And Cole said, is that going to be your story? How you came up short from winning the title?
Here's another one. Do I look nervous? Hell, even frightened? I'll be honest. I'm nervous. I'm scared. And I know all the old head podcasters who want this Jerry Springer TV can't believe it. He's out there in a suit. He's using big words. He's telling us that he's afraid. I have every reason to be afraid. I can't say, hey, I'll get him next year because I've already said that. But the story is no longer about Roman Reigns championship and myself. The story is about all of you who have followed me to the absolute ends. The story is about a young girl named Hannah, blind, came to the show holding a sign, cheering for me just to feel it. My friend Harley, who was sitting in the front row, who just went through spinal fusion surgery, who wanted nothing more than to get the weight belt. Fans like that, fans from my own family. Fans like my sister, the one that Rock didn't mention last week, the original Shotgun Rider for my dad, who went from watching him wrestle in front of thousands of people to driving him to a signing where there was only 40. Or my mother. She's the only one I got left. And I can't hand it to Dusty Rhodes, but I certainly can hand it to Michelle Rubio. Or
Cody.
How about my number one fan, someone you know really well because you hired her, my wife, Brandi Rhodes, the most beautiful woman on the earth. She took a shot on me when I was wearing a goofy mask and taking RKOs every night. If anyone deserves it, the story, it's beyond me. But Michael, it's up to me.
Love that line.
Roman Reigns, last year at WrestleMania, you said we were in the third inning. I'm letting you know here and now, and I think you already do, we are no longer in the third inning. We are in the last inning. And Michael, I'm so glad we got this moment. Because at WrestleMania 40, on night two, you get to say for the first time in the history of this company, for the first time in the history of my family, that a Rhodes is undisputed WWE champion. Michael, you get to say at WrestleMania 40, Cody Rhodes finished the story.
More or less, this was just a way to get him on TV without anything crazy happening. It wasn't a waste of time, but it was just there. Take it or leave it. Said a couple good emotional babyface things, as Cody is very able to do.
I liked how he was like very, you know, upset, and then he's just like, fuck. Just flipped the script.
Yeah, but you could tell he was like crying, and then all of a sudden, very quick to just wipe everything away and just be like, Also, George, did you notice, the baseball term that he used?
Bottom of the ninth? I know.
He didn't even say bottom of the ninth. I hated that.
He talked about innings.
He said we're in the last inning.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Why?
I hate that he didn't use bottom of the ninth. It bugged me.
Why?
He's like, no, it's in the... So he was like, we're not in the third inning. We're in the last inning. We're in the bottom of the ninth. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
What's wrong with last inning?
Baseball can go on for innings and innings and innings.
That's if you go into extra innings.
Yeah.
But I'm saying at the end of a game.
I don't know shit about baseball.
It just bugged me that he didn't use the term correctly. Mm. Or even...
Bottom of the ninth. That's like, what he should have said.
Yeah. He should have said that.
Three balls, two strikes, two outs, blah, blah, blah.
I'll show you two balls.
I'll show you
You know, legs. You don't have the grapes.
My dog has three legs.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Regal,
George will show you his third leg.
Regal, you're a good boy.
Gross.
I don't know.
Next, we got Liv Morgan sitting backstage, clearly dejected from her loss against Becky. Becky walks up to shake Liv's hand. Liv reciprocates and starts to shake Becky's hand. And then they're both taken up by Nia Jax. Nia puts Becky through a table with a manhandle slam. So that's still happening. Then we got Kabuki Warriors versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark.
Good job.
Kabuki, not Bukkake.
Bukkake.
Thank you.
Hashtag Bukkake.
No. Anyways, the Kabuki Warriors win, and I don't understand. This match was nothing. It was just there. Then we got Judgment Day.
I hated it. I hate that they book Shayna to look so shitty.
Yeah.
Did you see recently? I can't remember if it was posted anywhere on social media. I forgot that Shayna Baszler single-handedly eliminated all of the girls in one of the elimination chambers.
Shayna was booked as an absolute monster in NXT, and
she came into the. It was like right before Ronda, I think it was, or maybe during Ronda.
It was before Ronda.
Okay, so she completely took everybody out. I hate that they're not doing that for her anymore.
Yeah, she's been there for a long time, too, and people don't realize that because she's just kind of there. Like, she gets thrown into something every now and then.
Was she there before Ronda, or was Ronda there first?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure she was there before Ronda. Like, she would have been in NXT. I don't know if she would have been on the main roster yet.
Gotcha.
So, according to the Googles, unclear. 2017 is when she made her NXT debut. And I think Ronda.
Ronda made like 2012. Ronda was
2018 is when she signed with WWE. So Shayna was in NXT
for like 2 years, maybe?
No, not quite. Shayna Baszler was 17. Ronda was
she was in NXT for like 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't look that deep into it.
Doesn't say when she made her main roster debut.
Yeah. You got Judgment Day in the clubhouse. Then after Andrade walks in, Rhea tells the group that she told him to come. She said Dom isn't there, but Dom's big on Andrade. And when Dom comes back, Andrade should come back so that they can talk business. Andrade walks off and they agree Andrade brings a lot to the table. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Andrade had his match the week before, there wasn't much reaction at all. So if he gets roped up into something with Judgment Day, I think that's probably going to be good for him.
Yes. Do you think he goes the boss route? Like he's trying to go like a fine. Because he's been like hugging at this final boss like character. It's not really sticking.
Yeah, he's got to have some more layers added to his character. I think he can get there. They just got to do it right with him in order to get what they want out of it. But I'm definitely intrigued by him with some sort of dynamic with the Judgment Day, personally.
It's good. Good for him.
Then we get short vignettes of Shinsuke and Bronson Reed before the Gauntlet match. And then we get Damian Priest versus R-Truth. Priest has the early advantage, and while Truth is on the outside, DIY come out to start to cheer on Truth. Truth hits a five-knuckle shuffle and STF. And during the STF, J.D. McDonough and Finn Balor come out, and they take out DIY. Priest hits a South of Heaven for the win. J.D. and Finn take out DIY and Truth even further. There were some holy shit chants that happened during this match. I'm getting so sick and tired of audio being cut because the crowd is saying holy shit or whatever they say.
Yeah.
They went a long time without doing it a whole lot, and now it's all the damn time, and it just takes me out of it. So I hope this doesn't happen with Netflix, because I am so over it.
It can't be as bad as that fucking SmackDown with The Rock.
They're,
that was bad.
Yeah,
very bad.
Oh, thing. My God.
There's no way that they're going to be they're censoring this stuff. They have like naked and nude movies on Netflix, so.
I mean, it's not. I mean, I think it's half the network that they're on, but it's also half of the sponsors they have that don't want, you know, I guess non-family friendly things to be on the show that they're paying money to advertise on. You know, sponsors, commercial breaks. I mean, that's part of the equation too. But I'm hoping
they don't have to worry about commercial breaks. So.
Well, not unless you have the higher tier.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you do have commercial breaks still with Netflix.
Yeah, but I think they're a little different, are they? Aren't they? Wouldn't that be a little different, though?
They're going to have commercials maybe. During Raw if you don't have the commercial tier or the commercial-free tier.
But it's like it's going to be Netflix-based commercials, I would imagine. Like Netflix content. It's more of like what you normally see on a commercial break on Netflix right now.
I mean, whoever is probably signed up to advertise with WWE will still have their commercials on there like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they just do like what Peacock does?
I think that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, I think that's like part of, I think it's going to be similar to that. Yes. I think it'll be a lot like that probably.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that though.
Oh, me
I'm
too.
Excited for the Netflix.
I'm excited to see how things are going to change. I hope they get a new set and we don't just have one giant screen anymore. I hope we see some changes.
What if we see two different tunnels like AEW does?
I will murder you both.
The fuck did I do?
I hate tunnels. That's how much I hate them.
Didn't TNA have a tunnel?
Yeah.
They
had two.
Have one. I think they currently have one.
Oh, they did have one, and I think they had two. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if they have one now.
They definitely did.
Yeah.
Massive tunnel.
So, next we got Jey Uso coming out. And then during the entrance, you know, they're doing the whole this thing. And then Pat McAfee standing on the table doing this. He's like, I'm yeeting myself. That was funny. He says the bloodline, or Jay basically says that the bloodline won't let him go. Jimmy won't let him go. Like, he came to Raw for a fresh start, and they won't leave him alone. And then he challenges Jimmy to a match at WrestleMania. Great. I'm sure it's going to be a good match. I feel like it was a really, really quick build up after just a few like really minor run-ins with Jimmy, so there's no heat in that match for me.
They're rushing this one.
Yeah, I'm with you there, but who knows? Maybe over the next few weeks they'll get it built up and make us excited for it. So now we got to our main event. We've got the Gauntlet match. We got JD, McDonagh, and Ricochet starting the match. Highly athletic and high flying. Really entertaining start to the match, really. Ricochet ends up hitting a shooting star press to win, and JD McDonagh's eliminated. Now we got Bronson Reed out. Ricochet hits him with a suicide dive before he even gets to the ring and hits him with a plancha right after. Bronson Reed quickly takes control, though, and he pins Ricochet with the tsunami splash. So now we got Sami Zayn next going against Bronson Reed. Sami pins Bronson after a sunset flip powerbomb. And then Shinsuke Nakamura starts to make his entrance, but while he's doing so, you got an angry Bronson Reed getting up after being eliminated, and he beats down Sami Zayn, hits him with a top rope tsunami. Sami recovers quickly after Shinsuke gets in the ring, and he counters a Kinshasa with a roll-up, almost gets the pin on Shinsuke. Shinsuke quickly takes control, though, and after the commercial break, Sami Zayn pins Shinsuke with a Huluva kick. So now it's down to Sami Zayn, and then Chad Gable comes out last. At the end of it all, Chad Gable had an ankle lock going on Sami Zayn, and it looked like Zayn was going to tap. I really thought he was going to. Then Sami Zayn countered that into a roll-up, and he ended up pinning Gable for the win with that.
His shoulders weren't down.
And that's what I've heard. I wonder if they're not going to turn that into something. It sounds very possible.
That could be a down the road thing, though, too.
Yeah, Sami.
I've seen that.
Yeah, after Sami kind of tries to confront, or not confront, but comfort Gable, who's clearly disappointed, and then Guther comes out to the ramp and he stares Sami down, and that ends the show. So as of right now, our Intercontinental title match for WrestleMania is set. We got Guther and Sami Zayn going off against each other. I really, really thought Gable was going to win, and when it was all said and done, I wish he would have won. I think the story is there. I think Gable's got much more momentum and build-up coming into this match. I think that's what everybody wants to see because of the couple times he's gone against Gunther and how good those matches were. Not that Sammy's isn't going to be good, but I'm just kind of tired of Sammy having the same old, like, I'm an underdog, like, woe is me, always where's my underdog WrestleMania match, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep.
And I didn't get that from Gable. Yeah. Gable's like, this is personal for me.
I think he said I'm the only one that has an actual personal issue with Gunther rather than I just need to be in WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. So I really thought Gable was going to win, and when it was all said and done, I thought he should have won. I think Gable could have been in the first or second match and then run the whole gauntlet, made it all the way through, and that would have been amazing.
George, who did you want to win?
Cad.
What about you?
I actually wanted a Ricochet. I know just because Gunther actually won the title from Ricochet and has had it since.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
I just know that they had a really good match when he lost it, but Ricochet is just, he's so talented, and I hate that they are not using him.
Gable's never been pushed as a singles person, has he?
Correct.
Outside of the matches he's had with Gunther, no, not really.
Because he had Otis.
I hope that's changing.
Who's before Otis?
Jason Jordan.
Yes, that's his name.
Yeah,
I didn't know if you were gonna know. I didn't know if you were gonna say it. But yeah,
Otis is what MIA
Alpha
right now?
Academy, no. And then American Alpha.
He's been on recently.
Oh,
Yeah, anyways, I guess I digress. One thing that I wish they did with the gauntlet match is, like, with the Royal Rumble, they make, like, you know, the order that you come out a big deal, right? But they don't do that with the gauntlet match. So I wish there was more to it, or they did something to explain how they set the order, because that makes a big difference in how that match plays out.
That would be a bigger thing to worry about. I don't know about really like ever saying being like, oh, you know, 90% of the third, you know, number three wins, you know, because it would just have to deal with the person, wouldn't it? I guess it goes back to the Royal Rumble, but. Or it's like, you know, from the Royal Rumble, it's like, obviously it's a different situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my big takeaways.
You have to actually have a match.
Yeah, my big takeaways between Raw and SmackDown are we got our tag match with Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody. We've got our Intercontinental title match. And then they're just kind of further building the other established matches being the women's title matches.
The Jay and Jimmy.
Do you think that they're going to do the same thing with the women tag team belts? Like what they're doing with the men's?
What?
Like how they're going to defend them, or am I missing? Like, is there an actual match?
I don't even think they're going to defend them.
I don't know. It depends. Unless it ends up being against Candice and Indy, because it looks like they're going to try to build them up, and so I mean, there's definitely some pieces slowly moving into place in the women's tag division that I think could be. It could be really good and lend to something. I don't know what, but that's what it's looking like. So those are my big takeaways. Anything else major that you guys took away from wrestling in the last week?
Not really. We covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like at this point now, they're going to try to probably rush some matches or some storylines. I don't know if they'll actually get into any new storylines, but I think they're just rushing.
Like, unless these matches are going to be like 30, 45 minutes long.
They're not going to do that at Mania. I mean, maybe like your Cody and Roman match, that's going to be the only, like, I think, extensively long match, and that's probably going to be at least half an hour.
Well, one of the given matches is the Andre Battle Royal. That'll be, what, night one, probably?
I don't think that's even been on the main show the last several years. Been like pre-show, yeah. I think.
Has it?
At least that's what I recall. And then they did the women's one. I don't know if they did that last year either or not.
They did.
I remember when it was a big deal that they named it the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal or whatever, and then everybody had an absolute fit. And then it got changed, I think, into the Snickers or whatever it was, Battle Royal, which, I mean, if Moolah was a shitty person, then good, I guess. But I don't know.
Didn't Billy Ray, like, powerbomb her through a table?
Did you just call her Billy? Fuck you. And no, that wasn't her.
Which one was that?
Mae Young, dummy.
Which one was that?
It was Mae Young.
Yeah.
It was Mae Young. Did you really? It was. Well, they already have a Mae Young classic.
Oh, that's right. They changed it from Moolah to Mae Young.
No, Mae Young classic was.
Oh, the tournament. Yeah, the indie wrestler tournament thing they did. Yeah, that was cool.
You fucker, George. Did you do that on purpose or you do that on accident?
He says he did. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I think he.
I literally. Said Bubba after you're just like, oh, it's Billy Ray.
Yeah, I think you fucked it up. You know, you
I don't know.
Up.
I think you muffed it.
You muffed it.
I'm muffed both of you.
What?
What?
Any other takeaways? Any other final thoughts or anything like that before we get out of here for good?
Did they put anything down for what's going on Friday?
I haven't seen anything yet.
What do you? Oh, for this week? I mean, Rock's going to be there.
Rock's going to be there.
I think that's about it.
I don't think they said anything about being sold out or not. But
it's probably, if it's not sold out, it will be.
And it's Memphis, correct? Again,
it's
to
Memphis.
Reiterate that.
It is Memphis.
I'm wondering what they're going to do other than just a quick promo again. I don't really know if Cody's even supposed to be there. I'm sure it's just going to be the Bloodline and the Rock. That's about it.
We will find out. We will absolutely find out. Well, with that being said, if you're watching the live stream, look at the screen. You can find us, as you can see here, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. There's a few other platforms that you can find us there as well. Subscribe, like it, leave a review, leave a rating, whatever it is on that podcast platform. That'll help us out a lot. Also find us on X at the tag that you can see on your screen here. And then you can also find us on Facebook, search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. And then, of course, on YouTube right here if you're watching. If you're not watching, search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment. If you're watching this video right now, you better like it. Hit that thumbs up button. It'd be nice. Thank you. We appreciate you very much. We love you, especially if you do that. Talking to you, Jose, Phil, whoever's here, do those things.
Where was Logan and Colton tonight?
I don't know. I haven't seen them. Make sure to keep an eye on our feed for any new community posts on YouTube and for our links as they are made for the next live show. And make sure to click notify me on those so that you are notified when we go live for that show. Anyways, that's going to be it here on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. Salute. And we will see you guys next week right here from my basement. Peace out.